This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الإمام أحمد in his Musnad and in Sunan Ibn Majah they reported that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him, said, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, O Prophet of Allah, advise me, yet be brief. So the Prophet said ﷺ, when you stand to pray, pray like a man bidding farewell. And do not say anything for which you will have to apologize for and give up hope for what other people have. Servants of Allah, our Prophet ﷺ was given the concise of speech, few words that have profound meaning, which may require scholars to interpret in volumes. And in this beautiful hadith, we see how keen the companions of Allah, may Allah be pleased with them, on seeking advice. And this is what we should do. Because advice is heavy on the soul. And if you advise someone, most likely they would reject your advice. But when someone seeks advice from you, this means that he is willing to accept it. And therefore we should try to improve ourselves to give and to accept advice. The companion of Allah, may Allah be pleased with him, requested an advice, but he requested it to be brief. Because so many lectures we attend, so many speeches we hear, and very little remains to be implemented. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ gave him what is suitable for him, but in a very short statement. So what was the first advice? The Prophet ﷺ addressed the topic of salat, which we usually take for granted. usually we call people to pray. Come to the masjid. I didn't see you in Fajr today. What's wrong? Why didn't you come for Dhuhr, for Asr? This is the bare minimum that we call people for. This was not the case at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The bar was set up high. The Prophet did not tell him, pray or observe your 5 daily prayers. The Prophet ﷺ focused on something that was more valuable, and that is quality versus quantity. What counts at the sight of Allah is quality. And this is understood clearly if you measure between two hadiths. The first one is the hadith that speaks about al-Khawarij. Our Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that you will look down upon your prayers compared to their prayers. They pray day and night without end. Yet, they are the people of hellfire. They are the hounds of hellfire, as the Prophet has described them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you compare this to the hadith of the Prophet, alayhi salam, where he said that whoever prays 2 rak'ahs without whispering, without talking to himself about worldly matters, Allah would forgive all of his previous sins. So put this in the scale, 2 rak'ahs compared to praying all of your life without any quality. Then Islam focuses most on quality rather than on quantity. And prayer has great importance in Islam. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that those who do not pray at all, not a single prayer, are not Muslims. And this is mentioned in the Quran in so many ayahs. And this is clearly mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said that the pledge between us and them is prayer. Whoever abandons it is not Muslim. The Prophet says this in clear statements. So whoever does not pray at all is a kafir. Who prays salat, but he is lazy in performing it, he is a hypocrite. Allah says, and when they go to pray, they go in laziness. And this is the description of a hypocrite. Prayer is so important that by its validity, all of your rest, the rest of your deeds are valid. Whether it's charity, fasting, hajj. But if your prayer is not valid to begin with, then all of your good deeds would be rejected accordingly. And this is the first thing that a Muslim would be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment, as the Prophet had said, alayhi salatu wasalam. So coming back to the hadith, pray the prayer of a man bidding farewell. A person who bids farewell is a person thinking that this is his last prayer. So he does his level best to perfect his prayer, to attain the khushu' necessary, to complete its pillars, mandatory acts, and even the sunnah acts that the Prophet used to perform, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when doing the salat. A person bidding farewell is a person who holds himself accountable now before the Day of Judgment. So he asks himself after every prayer, was it good? Was it accepted? Or was I distracted while doing it? He is a person, when standing in prayer, imagines and has a conviction that he is standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why he shows his submissiveness in his standing up, in his rukur, in his sujood. He thinks of nothing but pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you imagine someone coming out of his grave, given the chance to pray one single prayer, then going back to his grave, whether being rewarded or punished. How do you think this person's prayer would be? Now, the Prophet said in another authentic hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, remember Allah, well, actually he said, remember death when you stand for prayer. Because a man, when he remembers death while praying, he should perfect his prayer and pray the prayer of a man thinking that he will not get another chance to pray another prayer. This is the advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this shows you how short the span of a believer is. Every one of us think that he will live for eternity. Even those who are past the age of 80 or 90, they still have hope in living for another 10, 20, or even 50 years more. And this is why when we act, we do not perfect what we do, because we always think that we will have another chance. Now, pray the prayer of a man bidding farewell. Remember death in your prayer. Does Islam promote death, dying, and the concept of having this thought with you all the time? Death can be negative and can be positive. In the sense that if you remember death to the extent that it would make you despair, give up hope in Allah's mercy, not think of Jannah, but rather give up hope from everything good, then this is negative. While Islam promotes positive thinking of death, and this way of thinking positively of death encourages you to do well and to stay away from sin. So when you're ever tempted to do haram, your positive thinking of death makes you refrain. And whenever you are lazy from doing what is mandatory, your positive thinking of death gives you the power and the courage to do such a thing. And such concept of positive death, if we have it in us, we will transform our lives. Not only that, but also the lives of our children, whom we always monitor. Don't do this. What are you doing? We sometimes spy on them. If we install the positive concept of thinking of death, we can be sure that they are not sinning. Because there is an inner voice that prevents them from doing haram and calls them to do what is obligatory. If we manage to think positively of death, we will not accept bribes. We will not give bribes. We will not cheat at our work. We will not steal or embezzle or do anything that angers Allah. We will not deal in riba. We will not think of cheating the wife from her rights or taking her possession or keeping her gold. We would not do so many things because we are aware of the fact that death is coming inevitably. And this positive way of thinking about death would definitely make us improve. Praying has benefits in the hereafter without any doubt. It has benefits in our graves without doubt. But does it have benefits in this life? Definitely. Part of the benefits of prayer in this life, that it relieves you from stress, from worries, from thinking of worldly things that would cause you to be diabetic, with high blood pressure, with a lot of confusion. Why? Because when you say Allahu Akbar, you are actually communicating with Allah Azza wa Jal. So you don't think about your job, or your debts, or your wife, or your children. You only think of what pleases Allah, knowing that if you please Allah, Allah would make all of your affairs to what pleases you. But if we fail to be in such communication, and we say Allahu Akbar while thinking of worldly matters, then we have a problem. The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, about night prayer. He says, شرف المؤمن قيامه بالليل. The honor of a believer is when he stands for night prayer. What honor is there? It's the honor of communicating with whom everything in this universe is in his possession and in his hand. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to tell Bilal, O Bilal, relieve us with salat. So whenever the Prophet was disturbed, he used to ask Bilal to make iqamah, because his relief was in salat. Nowadays we say, O Bilal, relieve us from salat. It's a burden on our shoulders. We just want to pray and leave. But it was the relief of the Prophet in the salat itself. If we look at our prayers nowadays, those who are lucky among us are those who pray in the masjid. Because the majority of people do not know the masjid. Some of them know the masjid in Jum'ah, and some of them do not know the masjid even in Jum'ah. The majority of Muslims do not pray the five daily prayers as Allah commanded them in the masjid. And even those who pray in the masjid, they are unfortunate because they do not have the khushur. They do not have the perfect salat. Each one of us has his heart in a different valley than in the masjid. We think of our businesses, of our families, we think of our work, we think of our fun and entertainment. Some of us spend all of his salat playing with his clothes, fixing his clothes, scratching his body, fixing or checking what's in his pockets. What kind of a salat is this? A person looks right, left, looks up, down. Where is your heart? You have certainty that these people are not praying the prayer of a person bidding farewell. It is impossible with the actions they are doing. The companions, may Allah be pleased with them, used to seek refuge in Allah from the khushur of the hypocrites. Do hypocrites have khushur? Do they have submissiveness in salat? Yes. The submissiveness of organs. So they pray and they don't move, but their hearts are not submissive. They don't have the khushur in their heart. And like Sayyidina Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, said, by Allah, if your hearts were pure, you would never have enough from the Quran. Likewise, if our hearts were pure, we would never have enough from the salat. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The Prophet's second advice صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, do not say anything for which you will have to apologize for. Is the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام telling us not to apologize? On the contrary, apologizing for your wrongdoing is part of good ethics that Islam promotes. Yet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is prohibiting us from doing something or saying something that requires we apologize for afterwards. So this is preemptive. Do not say or do something you will regret and have to apologize for later on. And if you look, we find that the Muslims have neglected this advice. Our tongues are engaged in so many hideous and evil acts that are beyond count. When you sit with the Muslims, without any hesitation, you can say that all of our gatherings are filled with ghibah, backbiting, with gossiping, namima, with slandering people, with making fun of people. Even if someone is in front of us, he doesn't know how to drive. He doesn't like people to overtake him. This is ghibah, and we don't pay any attention to it. How many marriages were destroyed by the evil of our tongues? A word that we say angers the husband, he divorces the wife. A slander that we say, things that we do not pay attention. How many disputes among the Muslims were ignited by a statement we did not pay any attention to? The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there is a word or a statement that a person says, does not pay any attention to, throws him in hell for 70 years and he has not reached the bottom of it yet because of a statement you said. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who was given the concise of speech, who if he were to talk, no one would want him to stop. Yet his words used to be counted. And he did not talk a lot. Why? He himself said, whoever keeps silence, whoever keeps silent, he will be saved and secured on the day of judgment. So silence is highly recommended so that you would not apologize for. Yet, if you will speak in what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, then speaking in what pleases Allah is far better than remaining silent. And finally, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, and give up hope from what other people have. It is human nature. When you see someone who's rich, that you wish that he gives you something, that you become envious. When you see someone influential, you wish that he gives you a job. When you see someone who has something you do not have, you are hopeful that he may share it with you. So you always constantly looking at what other people have. And this shows how little tawakkul is in your heart, how little dependence, reliance, and trust in what Allah has. Because you're not looking at what Allah has, you're looking at what individuals have. And whoever is self-content with what Allah has, Allah would make him the richest man, even if he does not have a penny. Whoever is sufficient with and content with what Allah has, Allah will make him the wealthiest person because he is not enslaved to other slaves. He is enslaved to his master and to his Lord. And the more you look at what people have, the more enslaved and humiliated and belittled you be to them. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever guarantees, and I pray to Allah that he makes me and you among those who guarantee this, whoever guarantees to me, to the Prophet sallam, that he will not ask anyone among the people for anything, I will guarantee Jannah for him. How many calls do we get from people? Shaykh, can you do this for me? Can you talk to someone? Can you lend me something? Can you make me borrow something? This is not part of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, who taught us to be content with whatever we have and not to look at what others have. So the Prophet says, ﷺ, whoever guarantees to me that he will not ask people for anything, I will guarantee for him Jannah. Therefore, servants of Allah, I advise myself and you to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Our life in this world is limited. It is short. So many loved ones have passed away. And now we tend to forget how much we love them and how much we were sorry for them. Soon, our loved ones will miss us and we will die. And nothing would help us in our graves except the prayer that we used to observe, the prayers that we used to perfect, the prayers that we used to pray as a person bidding farewell. Nothing would help us except protecting and observing what comes out of our mouths and whether it pleases Allah or angers Him. Nothing would help us except being content with what Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وتولنا برعايتك ولا تحرمنا. اللهم أغننا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عن من سواك. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وبلغ بما يرضيك آمالنا. اللهم اختم لنا بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا واجعل ثأرنا وكيدنا على من ظلمنا وعادانا. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر اللهم أعداء هذا الدين. اللهم واحفظنا في أوطاننا ودورنا يا رب العالمين. وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
اللهم